The Burt Show.
You know what's taking a toll on me?
Life.
This guy. Jax. This guy. Ruining everything. That one you did about Honey a couple of weeks ago, the app that is supposed to be saving you money, really jacked me up, man.
I know. I mean, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to deliver.
And here he goes again. Today it's about engagement rings and diamonds, and Jackson ruins everything.
Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Why do you have to ruin everything, Jackson?
Before we get into me ruining engagement rings and diamonds, there's one thing that I need to ruin first.
Okay.
Okay?
Double ruin today. You're going all in. Burn the village, baby.
It's a double ruin, and I'm going to ruin that audio stager that just played right there.
Okay.
Okay?
You hate it.
I don't love it.
Okay?
I don't love it, okay? And I think this is a product of my ego getting in the way of me being too comfortable here now and kind of, you know, pulling a bit of a diva move here.
Yeah.
And the first time that I heard it, I'm not going to lie, I was a tiny bit disappointed, if I may say.
Okay.
Okay? And because of that, I was like, man, I wonder if there's a way that we can, like, get around this. I don't want to be rude to the, you know, the hardworking people who created this.
The child that voiced it.
The child that voiced
it. That's really what's bothering you, right? It's the child that voiced it.
Maybe. No offense, Kaylee, but
she don't have a voice for it.
That's part of it. And so I was like, instead of just asking for a way to get around it, I thought, why not just make one ourselves? Okay. Okay?
All right, let's see what you got.
And so I test.
Jackson ruins everything.
We have two theme songs.
You think that's better?
Yeah.
That kind of sucks. Yeah.
That sucks.
You had another child voice.
We're confused.
It was lucky.
You're not ready for that kind of decision making.
Yeah.
Take your time, bro.
Hear me out, please. Okay, so I had my, you know, esteemed SoundCloud rapper Mikey. I was like, throw down a really cool beat. Let's go for something that's a little more maybe Eastern, and you know, maybe we can. It's a work in progress, guys. Okay, just give me that. Right?
It certainly
stop
is.
Stop the progress. That ain't it. No more progress.
No more progress.
All right, we'll go back to the original one.
It took Kristen 10 years to earn the right to just be able to come in here and do what the hell she wants.
Yeah, I did.
You've been here 10 months.
The thing is,
I still haven't earned that right.
You haven't earned that right.
The nerve of you.
I hear Kristen's Dark Side one, and I just think it's so good. It's intense. It's produced beautifully. And I'm like, man, I wish, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, though, those aren't really even close to the same playing fields.
Yeah, a professional produced that one, and you had Mikey, the SoundCloud rapper, do yours.
Just because we're never going to hear it again. Can we hear it one last time?
Jackson ruins everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it sounds like a bad cut from Crazy Cheap Asians. That's what it sounds like.
All right. Well, you certainly have ruined the Burt Show for a while.
Okay. All right. Well, besides me ruining that and potentially my job, let me quickly get into ruining diamonds and engagement.
Did you guys really think that was good?
He
was dead ass. He was so sincere.
You guys
sincere.
Listened to it, looked at each other, and said, yes, let's send it in. Yeah, I love watching men be humbled.
Back to the drawing board.
All right. Diamonds.
Diamonds. Diamonds.
You might not even need an engagement ring after that.
This segment really should just be Jackson ruins theme songs. Jackson ruins his job.
You guys know supply and demand, right? They are what we call inversely related. If there's more supply, demand goes down. If there's more demand, supply goes down. Simple, right? And there's a price aspect to that as well. If there's not a lot of supply, prices tend to go up because people want the more scarce items that are out there, right?
How do I tariff this idea? That's all I know right now.
And so if you think back to it, I truly thought that the process of proposing with an engagement ring was something that was like a centuries old tradition, right? Come to find out, this thing was actually brought up in the 30s as a marketing scheme. The 1930s,
really?
That is.
Hmm.
Okay? And so prior to the 1930s, basically diamonds were a super precious gem that were always touted for their rarity, right? But a company known as De Beers in South Africa actually found a giant mine full of diamonds. And they were like, well, this is going to ruin the entire market for us. So how do we get rid of this? So what did they do? They kept it a complete secret. They didn't tell anybody how many diamonds were out there so that they could artificially affects the supply that's out there, therefore artificially controlling prices. And then what did they do? They went to a New York ad agency and they partnered with them, and they basically created the tagline that diamonds are forever. And they also partnered with a bunch of Hollywood stars at the time, because film was kind of brand new at this point. And they had all these celebrities showing off rings and proposing. And that's where this entire idea even came from to begin with. It was all a total marketing scheme.
Brilliant.
Which is honestly super brilliant,
right?
Fascinating. And so as they have continued to do this, they controlled like something like 70% of the entire diamond market at that time. And
De Beers did?
De Beers did. And you know when you hear the whole thing about like, it needs to be 2 months salary, that's how much you should spend on the ring.
Three
months salary. That was created totally by them.
Yeah.
They wanted to attach how much money that you're spending on a ring to how much it's how much you love the person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So smart.
It's genius, but it's a little scummy and a little slimy. And the whole reason why they said diamonds are forever is because if you try to resell a diamond these days, they have way less value than when you originally purchased it from the start. And so they don't want you to have to go and replace your diamonds, upgrade, get new ones. They want you to think that and hold on to it forever. And so that's why you keep them forever.
Wow. Interesting. And you did. Again, Jackson ruined everything.
One more for the road.
Jackson ruins everything.
I think we should make him keep it. I do. We should absolutely make him keep it now.
I think maybe so.
The Burt Show.
To put it all on the line for the Super Bowl or not, is there anybody listening right now that's got like a major bet this weekend on the Super Bowl? Husband maybe, wife maybe, somebody you know has just put down a bet where you're like, are you kidding me? 1-855-BURT-SHOW.
So I normally don't find myself in this position to where I'm having to risk it all, but this kind of just fell in my lap this year. I'm not really the type of guy that bets on the Super Bowl unless my team is in it, which that never happens. So there's usually nothing for me to bet on.
When was the last time the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl?
Oh, my God. 30-some years ago.
Dang.
So pretty much my whole life at this point. But
you were a baby.
I was. I think I was 9 the last time the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm going to have to remember that for the rest of my life.
We're just betting like Mike and Ike's and Ring Pops back in the day.
Exactly. So this year, I kind of got lucky. And I started this league with my uncle. And my uncle had like 50 people in this league. And it was like a March Madness bracket style tournament for the NFL, if you will. And I ended up becoming one of the top 2 guys, and now it's 2 of us left because of the way that we panned out the playoffs. And so I had this decision to make, which is a big decision because the pot equals up to $5,000 if you win it all. So normally my pride and my ego is always all in. If we're going to do it, let's do it. Until the guy came to me and he said, listen, about a week ago, he said, I think we can make a deal here. Now, the way that it all panned out, I would need the Chiefs to win because that's who I initially picked to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
He picked the Eagles to win it all because both of our teams made it to the Super Bowl, respectively. We are the only 2 teams left that are still in it. Now, I don't really care who wins, to be honest. This doesn't really matter to me. I would like to see the history, but I also wouldn't be mad if Philly found a way to stop it from happening.
The history most talking about is if Kansas City wins this year, they'll be the first team in the NFL ever to win back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls. 3 in a row.
Which is incredible. Obviously, no one has ever done it. It's difficult to do. Now, where it gets tricky is he came to me and he said, how about we split it? Instead of waiting on who's going to win or who's not going to win, what if we just call it even, run it down the middle, we get 25 apiece, and then we just call it a day.
And again, the buy-in was how much?
The buy-in was only $50.
$50.
So it's still a good day in the office if you turn 50 into 2,500, right? But I know myself, and I would be so mad if I took that 25 and the Chiefs win. But I also would be really mad if I don't. Right? And the Chiefs lose.
And again, if you don't know anything about this game, this is going to be a really close one. At least that's what they're saying. The point spread on it is like 1 or 1.5 points means that most people are predicting it's going to be a super close game. There is no clear-cut winner here.
At all. And that's what makes it so hard is I'm not leaning one way or the other. So I came in, I asked you guys, what would you do? And I really took the entire week to think about it. Now, it's funny because all of the DMs and phone calls that I got, seemingly from everyone who either listens or who supports me, they all said, take the split. That's what everybody said. Like, it was overwhelming. Everybody was like, take the split. It's just, it's the smart thing to do.
That's what I would have done, I think. How about you guys?
I think I said the same thing when you brought it up the first time. I can't remember.
I think you did. I can't remember either.
I'm taking the split.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a guaranteed $2,500. You paid $50 to get in the pot, so you're winning no matter what, as long as you get the guaranteed payout.
It's a guaranteed payout. That was where my mindset was at. Take the split. Somebody even gave me the idea to say, listen, how about if I take it, then I'll take three and you take two since you're offering it to me. And I did offer that to the guy to see if he would go. He was like, no, I'm not doing that. We either splitting it down the middle or we competing. So literally, I mean, literally, as I was sitting there and I was like, all right, everybody's saying take the split. Do the smart thing, Mo. Do the smart thing. I get a text from my grandmother, who I listen to probably more than anybody else. And the text simply said, we don't do it small in this family.
Okay, Grandma.
Grandma texted me and said, go big or go home. Big risk, big reward. You better put it all on the line. And so I put it all on the line.
You did it.
I basically got $5,000 on the Chiefs. That's where I'm at with it.
That's crazy.
Dang, that's a lot of money, man.
Yeah, I know. But something told me if my grandmother reached out and gave me that energy, that was the universe's way to pulling me to do it. So I went against what I thought was the smart play.
Wow.
And I've decided to go all in.
And I told you earlier this morning, I bet on the Eagles. I
heard you say that. You bet on the Eagles. Yeah, so we got our own little Super Bowl going in here.
Good for you, man.
We'll see what happens.
Good for you. It'll change the game of the way you're looking at this game.
Absolutely.
You're watching it.
Oh, yeah, I'm old Patrick Mahomes now.
Is it also going to change the way you look at your grandma?
If Jalen Hurts finds a way to play football, yes, it will. Yes, it will. Hopefully, she'll give me the money.
The Burt Show.
So Kristen was telling a story a couple of days ago, which makes me want to ask you guys, like, what did you do at work or what did an employee do at the place that you're working at, either now or another place, that they messed up so badly that you can't believe they kept their job? There's no way they should have kept their job. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. And the reason why I was thinking was that the one that you told the other day about hockey.
Yeah, so there's actually been two instances in my life where I should have been fired. For whatever reason, I wasn't. The first was the one I told you guys about a couple days ago. I was working for a minor league hockey team. It was guys' night. I was working with the video production team. We were coming up with guy-oriented videos to play on the Jumbotron during the downtime of the game. And we had that infamous scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High where Phoebe Cates is coming out of the pool in her red bikini and she opens up her bikini top because it's like a fantasy sequence in Judge Reinhold's mind. And we put the Men of War hockey logos over her tatas and I'm like, this is amazing! But we weren't paying attention to what Judge Reinhold was doing as he's in the bathroom staring out the window watching her swim and he's doing something with an arm motion that is very inappropriate. And we had a line that was so deep at guest relations of mothers complaining and filing complaints because they were mortified. And what were they supposed to tell their kids this man was doing in the bathroom while he was watching a girl swim in the pool in a bikini?
So all they had to do is make the edit when she came out of the pool.
Yes.
But it's like a 3-second clip.
They actually go to him a couple times.
Oh, they do? Oh, great.
Remember as well as you do.
Okay. It's a 9-second clip. Yeah, they go to him a couple times. And so we had a meeting with the general manager, with the head coach, with Rupp Arena. And I'm like, I'm losing my job. The video guy, I'm like, he's definitely losing his job. Somehow, some way, we didn't lose our jobs. And then there was a story I told you guys a while back. And I remember Romeo was a part of the show and he was so upset because he got fired from Disney for giving his friend French fries. But I didn't get fired because one of our listeners from our radio station lost a finger.
Okay, hold on 1 second to that. Hey, Jessica, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Kristen's about to tell us how a dude didn't lose his job but lost a finger.
Well, I used to work at the jail where in the county that I live in. And back then, it used to be a 287G, which is an immigration thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we got this guy who was an actual criminal. He was selling drugs. Oh, he was a bad, bad guy, right? And he had an ICE hold. And we're not supposed to release him until ICE let him go. So somehow this girl, she was brand new, messed up his paperwork and she released him. And it took him like almost a month to find him back because he was trying to go to another state. Where they finally got him back, and she did not got fired at all. I don't know what she did or who she was doing with.
Yeah, I feel like if you release the wrong person from jail, that's a fireable offense.
And like a hard criminal also. Good point. Thanks for calling. Yes.
That's insane.
All right, so the finger.
So, yeah. So how I didn't lose my job after this, I have no idea. But we were at Oktoberfest in Cincinnati. I was working at the rock station, and we were doing bobbing for bratwurst for bobbleheads. So we had this giant, like, metal tub filled with water, and there were sausages that were floating, but, like, the bratwurst sunk. So you had to go all the way down, grab a bratwurst, bring it out. And if you did, you got this little frog bobblehead, because this frog was our mascot for the station, right? So this guy gets up, takes a hold of the table underneath like this. He's going down. The table collapses.
No.
And when the table collapses, he comes up and he goes like this.
My God.
The table had severed half of his index finger off.
Nope.
And I scream and just panic and freeze. The dude who was working with me, he was the music director. He's freaking out. There was a nurse in the audience, and she goes, "Find the finger." Now, mind you, there were hot dogs, sausages, bratwurst. So we just are trying to find a finger in a sea of hot dogs and sausages and bratwurst. They find the finger. They put it on ice. They get the EMS and the golf cart to haul them off. They can't reattach the finger.
Oh, no.
So there was a meeting with my PD, with the general manager, with the, like, head of the company and the lawyers. I had to, like, do a whole statement with the lawyers from the radio station of, like, what happened. Thank God he signed a waiver, but they were all soaked from the hot dog water, but we still have the waivers.
Unbelievable.
And I somehow didn't lose my job.
How'd he sign that waiver with that bad hand?
He signed it before he lost it, Abby. Duh.
The golden years of radio.
Oh, yeah.
Man, do we miss them.
The Bert Show.
Are Abby's friends trying so hard to set her up with Mr. Right that she literally might end her life over this?
Yeah, they're trying so hard to get me killed. That's what it's starting to feel like, because I've gotten sent this post from a Facebook page by so many of my friends that I'm starting to get concerned that they don't have any concern for my well-being or my life. So I actually saw this Facebook post a couple of days ago, and I did look into it because I was intrigued, but I kind of said to myself, this could end really poorly. And I ended up moving on, didn't think about it much until a couple of days ago. Ping, ping. Abby, have you seen this? Abby, look into this. Abby, screenshot. Have you seen this? You should check this guy out. And I'm like, y'all, I've seen this. I've thought about this. I think this could end up getting me killed. So this all has to do with a post from a Facebook page called Solo Travelers Finding Other Solo Travelers, or something along those lines. And it's people that are solo traveling throughout the world. They're going places, and they'll post about where they're going and in lieu of hoping to find somebody that will come on these trips with them. So for example, if I'm going to Greece next year and I say, hey, my name's Abby, I'm going to Greece, want like a couple of people to go with, anybody interested in coming with me on these dates? And people are like, oh yeah, I'll book my flights. Where are you staying? Blah, blah, blah. And they'll figure it out. So this guy named, we'll call him Jack. This guy named Jack posts a picture of him in front of his nice car, in front of the house that he owns, and offers up a vacation that most people think sounds a little too good to be true. So it says, hey, y'all, my name is Jack. I'm 29 and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm looking for a travel partner to join me on a cruise from February 8th through the 15th. The trip is aboard Royal Caribbean's Icon of the Seas and includes stops at St. Martin, St. Thomas, and Coco Cay. The cruise is already paid for, so you'd only need to cover your travel expenses to get to the departure port in Miami. Please feel free to message me, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you. What? So because this guy's objectively attractive and he's offering a vacation, he must be my soulmate, because I've had at least 4 people send me this screenshot saying I need to go for it.
I was about to come down really hard on these people, but then I remembered I got the guy from France on the air because he was looking for dates to weddings in France.
So well, I can't. The difference is this is Royal Caribbean's Icon of the Seas.
Yes.
That was a wedding in Cannes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also that guy had a little bit more credibility. This could be AI for all I'm concerned. This photo could be totally fake. Mm-hmm. Somebody made it on Microsoft mm-hmm. Paint and was like, who wants to come get murdered in Miami, Florida this weekend?
Okay, so this is an offer for the cruise, right?
It's an offer to travel with Jack on the Royal Caribbean's Icon of the Seas.
So have you ever been on a cruise before?
Yes.
Okay, so you know how small those rooms are?
Yes.
So now you're supposed to take a vacation with a guy that you don't even know mm-hmm. and be like elbow to elbow with this guy for a week or two? No way.
That's what my friends want. They're like, Abby's lonely, single, and desperate, and she's throwing a baby shower for her cat this weekend. Surely death is better than this.
So you would be in the same cabin with him. That's what we're understanding.
I think that's what I'm getting at.
And there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. I mean, if you don't like this guy, all you're going to do is run around the cruise ship or jump off of it.
That's literally the only two options.
At this point, it might be better than the alternative, which is continuously swiping and swiping and swiping on the dating app. So at least I'll get a vacation before I die.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Now, if you want to wear Kanye West's wife from the Grammys red carpet, it's going to cost you nothing. You just got to walk out in your birthday suit. But if you want to wear what she wore to the after party, it's going to cost you about $20 or so. So Kanye West is selling his wife's see-through Grammys bodysuit that she wore to the after party. And just to kind of give you a picture as to what this thing looks like, I mean, she can pull it off because when you look like that, why wouldn't you walk around naked? But she is just wearing basically like a plain black tank top bodysuit. So it's kind of like a onesie for parents who don't know what a bodysuit is. So it kind of like clips at the bottom and then it's a sheer black tank top with skinny spaghetti straps. And so walking around, she looks amazing. And Kanye's like, if you want to be able to cop the same look, I'm selling it on Yeezy's website for $20 or so. It's a steal.
I hate this so much. I'm having a hard time like separating myself from like the seriousness of the whole situation because mm-hmm. he's clearly pimping her out in every way, shape, or form, which is disgusting. And she clearly has some mental problems also that she's allowing it to happen. The whole thing is so jacked up. I hate this guy so much.
And I've seen the back and forth as to, like, what's the dress code for the Grammys? Because obviously people push the envelope. You see a lot of skin. I mean, there's been plenty of nudish type dresses, especially when, you know, you can see nipples. But in this instance, where you literally see everything, and also the picture of the kid that was like staring as well, which was really uncomfortable, like, what constitutes indecent exposure and what doesn't? Like, what flies and what doesn't?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you have, I don't know the legalities of it, but you have something on, but you can see everything.
I feel like that was my question. Like, that has to qualify as indecent exposure at this point. Because if it was a man, you certainly couldn't get away with doing it. And I guess I'm just numb to Kanye's antics at this point. I mean, she is a grown woman, so there is that aspect to it, too. I don't know how much she is just as involved in this as Kanye is, but they weren't even invited to the Grammys and pulled all of this off, which tells me that, yes, it's a lot going on wrong there.
They were, though.
Oh, they were invited.
Was nominated. He was like, he was a songwriter. He was something, producer, something on something that got nominated. So technically he was allowed to be there. They just wanted to be on the red carpet and then they bowed out.
Got it.
Yeah. They're like, nobody wants us here. So we're going to leave. But yeah, at this point, like it's boring. Like I feel like all we see is her body. If they really wanted to shock us, they should put her in a beautiful gown.
Clothes. And there he is on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it yesterday, bragging that she was the number one subject that was Googled yesterday.
I bet.
And he's like, well, you guys are ripping on me, but here, my wife is the number one thing that was Googled in the world yesterday. But for what? And look what you're doing. It's a human being. And she can't, obviously, there's some mental issues going on there also for her to agree to that. And then when you look at her in the eye, she's just like not even there, man. And I don't know if it's an act or not, but it all seems so gross to me.
But she was laughing and smiling and having a good time at the after party when you watched the videos of them dancing together. Now, I did look up what constitutes indecent exposure in California. And according to California Penal Code 314.1, Indecent exposure. In California, the crime of indecent exposure occurs when a person exposes his or her naked body or genitals in front of anyone who could be annoyed or offended by it. Okay. So I'm wondering if somebody has to file a complaint of annoyance or offense in order for, like, because to me, I'm like, y'all could get arrested for that, right?
You know what? And I don't consider myself a guy that has like a big old stick up his butt or anything, but there's like this new wave now of nudity. And also I'm tying it kind of into the influencers now that are having sex with 100 guys in like 7 hours. And now they're getting paid millions of dollars. And this is the way they're doing it. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. It's just like kind of a gross time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, where do you draw the line? Like, we're so free and open. And sometimes we'll say that sleeping with 100 people can be empowering. But at what point is it not empowering? And it's just actually detrimental to yourself and to your self-esteem. Like with Bianca, his wife. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's a power dynamic to where she feels like she cannot get out of the situation. She's in too deep. She's got the golden handcuffs. And maybe there's some abuse going on. So it's really just sad to see all of this happen before our eyes. Okay, is Allison Holker the new Jada Pinkett Smith? Do you remember like last year when I felt like we constantly saw Jada in the news talking about something and everybody in the comments was just like, shut up. We have heard enough. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like people are starting to feel that way about Twitch's widow, Allison Holker. She has been going on a media circuit promoting her new memoir, This Far, My Story of Love, Loss, and Embracing the Light, which is all about her talking about her Twitch passing away about 2 years ago. And she has gone off and talked about a very public hookup that they had while they were on tour. And she's talking about all this debt that he left her with that I think people are just like, take a break. Mm-hmm. He's only been gone 2 years. Mm-hmm. At some point, you've got to put the microphone down and let his family rest and your family rest as well. But it sounds like maybe she needs all this money for that $1 million debt that he left her with.
It is an interesting question to ask yourself as far as like, all right, that was your husband. You're the widow. You are entitled to share your story. But like, how much of your story do you tell before you start like hurting others? Like, where is that line? Because there's other people that are affected by his passing, i.e. his mother, his sibling, his children. And obviously hearing her mom or her daughter talk, she's backing up her mom. But it's like, at one point do you need to like tell yourself to shut up because you're hurting other people in the process?
Yeah. If I'm his mom, I'm telling her to shut up multiple times.
I don't know where that line is, but I know she's crossed it.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I will give myself the award for being the fakest Burt Show member this morning on The Burt Show. I've been reeling this morning, man. It's jarring when somebody your own age passes away. And this morning I woke up to a text that a contemporary of mine in radio passed away at 56 years old. And we weren't close like the last decade, but the history that he and I have together is there's a bunch of shows that all came into this industry at the very same time. Back in the day, there were big shows in morning radio that we really looked up to, us younger guys. They were like Kid Craddock, who ended up being my mentor. He passed away also. Jeff and Jer in San Diego was one of the shows. Bob Rivers in Seattle. And we used to go to these conventions, us young guys, that were really just trying to figure out exactly what was going on in the industry. We wanted to do our own shows, but we were scared and we went for it. We jumped, man. We took the leap. And there were shows like It Was Me, it was Dwyer and Michaels, it was John Jay and Rich, who are out in Arizona. They're still doing their thing. My friend Kevin Ralston is in West Palm. JB and Sandy was in Austin. And there was Ace and TJ out of Charlotte. And when I met these guys, Ace and TJ, I believe they were in maybe Mississippi at the time and had worked their way in to Charlotte. And for about a decade, maybe 12 years, we were all super, super tight. We had all started in the industry at the exact same time. We would lean on each other when we went out to conventions. It was all of us. We were just getting hammered together. We're exchanging ideas. I have so many memories from hanging out with all of these guys.
They were super creative and so much fun to hang out with.
And the my circle, we've all been texting each other. My radio circle, kind of our class of morning shows, is really tore up this morning because Ace of the Ace and TJ show passed away yesterday. And we've all known that he's been on the struggle bus for a long time. A lot of stuff going on in his personal life. But it's just really jarring when you see a contemporary of yours, somebody that you, at least we used to be very, very close, pass away like that. It just really makes you, it reminds you that this isn't forever, man.
Mm-mm.
It's not. And all of us have been texting each other this morning. Like, it's so weird that we all have been so close and our journeys and our careers started at the exact same time. And we were all part of the foundation of what inevitably all of those shows that I just mentioned were very successful for a time. Most of them are still together doing really, really well. And the building blocks of us learning together and coming up through this industry, we have a lot of really great memories together. And this is the first in our quote unquote class that has passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I really just want to send sympathies out to his family and to his kids.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't even begin to fathom. I have many a fond memory hanging out with Ace and TJ at morning show boot camps. when I first got into the radio fold almost 20 years ago, Bob and the Showgram was also a big name, and he was very well mm-hmm. respected among that crew. And I remember you got to be a part of the cool club because, yeah, there was the morning show, boot camp, and the conventions. But then these names that Bert just mentioned would have a meeting of their own mm-hmm. in one of the suites. And so all of these, like, radio morning show big hitters, like Bert just named off, and to be in a room with them and see how their mind works and to share their creativity was just really, really awesome to be a part of. And that was Ace and TJ. Like, they were just, they were so funny and, you know, so creative. They pushed the envelope. did they push the envelope? And reading that news was, that was heartbreaking.
These conventions would go from city to city. And the very first time that it was in Atlanta, when you're the host city, when it's in your city, you have an extra responsibility and an extra pressure to make sure everybody is having a great time, and when they leave your city, they have great memories. And I remember taking Ace and TJ out one night. I think we were with Kevin Ralston also, and this was a little bit more in my wild days, and we were going from bar to bar and strip club to strip club, and man, it must have been 1:32 in the morning, and we were not done, but Ace was done, right? Calls himself, there were no Ubers back then, it was taxis back then, and I just remember pouring him in the back seat of a taxi, and the last thing I saw, we're screaming at him, "You okay, dude? You okay?" We can't see him because he's laying down, and his hand just comes up with his thumb up from the back seat, like, "I'm gonna be okay, man." So I've been a little bit sidetracked this morning in that it makes you take a look at your own mortality also, man. I mean, these are guys that are my age. We've been doing the exact same thing together for all of these years. And it makes you take a look at yourself and go, man, this is just, you got to remember, this isn't forever. And I've always said this about radio. It's not a hard job. It's a taxing job. And if you're not, which most are, if you're not taking care of yourself physically and mentally along the way, man, you're really doing yourself a disservice, because at the end of the day, it's just your career. Yeah.
It was jarring to hear, for sure. And it shakes you to your core, and it really makes you look at things differently. Mm-hmm.
Loss is loss. It always hurts, but it is something that hits a little different, like that mirror, so to speak. It's mm-hmm. a little different when you lose somebody your age, whatever age you are. And yeah, I think it does cause you to kind of look at your life, take a deeper look, and be a little more grateful for every day that you have.
Yeah, and it's a good reminder that, man, you just got to remember that this really does, it happens in seasons. And I think sometimes that we can get so caught up in the bad season that we're in, you forget that at some point or another, it's going to be a better season. You know, they say that this too shall pass, the good stuff, the bad stuff, it all passes. And when you're stuck in the middle of it and you just can't see how to get out of the muck, it's there. It's going to happen, you know? But you take a look at your life and all of the years that you're on this planet, we're taking ourselves so seriously in our careers, and our problems seem like they're so big, and they're just not. And it inevitably ends. And sometimes it takes the death of a friend or somebody that's your own age to realize, like, if it was all going to end tomorrow and you knew that, how would you change your life today?
Hmm.
You know?
Really bringing the funny today, aren't you, Sarah?
Not on this one.
I know.
A lot of ways, when you really think about it. We all say, live every day like it's your last, but do we really?
No, yeah. We don't. No.
We never do.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I'd say if the solo trip isn't grandfathered in before you get married, it's a tough ask. And I think Kaylee's going back.
Well, I mean, I didn't ask. Well, I did the first time I went on a solo trip, but it wasn't completely solo. I was meeting a bunch of dudes in Alaska, and I was hopping on these modified jet skis, and I was traveling 550 miles in 5 or 6 days.
Sounds amazing.
It was absolutely the most epic thing I've ever done.
And there your wife is back at home, though, with the kids. Three kids.
I don't know did I have three at the time? I don't remember. Two, three.
At least two, maybe three.
Minimum two, maybe a third, maybe a newborn. I don't remember.
But when you do make an ask like that, I mean, it is putting a lot more stress and pressure on your significant other.
Of course.
And you guys got through it, and you had a great time, and you're thinking about a second.
Yes, I haven't told her yet, but she'll probably have some text messages. So this is my kind of way of gently dropping, planting this seed that I'm interested. Yes, sir.
Now, curious, before we talk about the possibility of this second trip, has she taken one?
To go where? Anywhere?
Left you with the kids for a week or whatever?
I don't know that she's done, but she could. All she'd have to say is, hey, I want to go do this, and I'll be like, bye.
Okay. So just not her thing.
Nothing's happened. I guess she's been pulled to go in a direction for a week with her friends, but if she wanted to.
Does she feel like she can? Those are two different things.
That's a great question, Kristen. I don't know if she does, but she should, because I don't put limitations on.
It's not that you put limitations on her. I'm saying, does she think she can because there might be some things that fall through the cracks while she's gone.
Oh, you're saying that I couldn't handle such a...
I think Kristen is just asking, is she 100% sure that when she comes back, all three children will still be breathing?
I think she would probably feel safe in that way, but also, you know, my work, you know, she's been doing mornings with our children since they arrived into this world.
Same with my husband.
And I'm not there in the mornings. Mm-hmm. So that would take some planning in order to execute. I would probably have to bring in some outside help.
What is she doing right now? Why are we doing this? Why don't we just get her on and ask?
Well, why do we want to do that? We don't need to involve her.
She's really good.
I wanted this to be the seed planting.
Yeah,
okay.
I got you.
I have never heard anyone in real time go.
I don't know how she feels. You'd have to ask her.
That's what I'm trying.
That's what he's trying to do.
I don't know what she's doing right now. Okay, well, call her, Tommy.
Tommy, will you give her a call?
Go ahead. So where do you want to go this time?
Oh, look at the regret.
I'll tell you the number. I want to go back to Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I'm going to go on a different leg of this adventure.
Of your ski-do trip?
It's a modified jet ski. Don't try to minimize the coolness. You're going to be riding around on a Sea-Doo.
No, it's one of those inflatable bananas.
Hey, don't knock the banana. The banana is awesome, okay? Like, if you see me riding on a banana, you know I'm having a good day.
Same thing. That's what she said. All right, so you haven't brought this up to her yet, so what is your... Because you came in here to say, what's the best approach?
Well, yeah, but now that's out the door, right? Because,
it's out the door, it's out the window, it's out everywhere, because she's on the line.
Yeah, let's see what this sounds like. Hey, Aaron.
Hi, guys.
Hi. You've been listening to the show this morning?
You know what? No, it's funny. I'm sitting here with three of my coworkers, and I'm training right now, so... This is going to be interesting.
Okay. Yeah, 60 seconds. This shouldn't take very long.
No.
Hey, babe.
Do I have 60 seconds? That's longer than most things that happen in my day.
Oh! So when you ask the question, why do we need to call your wife? That's the reason.
Okay. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut in my response to that statement. But anyway.
Let me ask my first question to her, and then we can go with your ask.
Okay.
So, Aaron, if you wanted, like what Kaylee did a couple years ago on his Sea-Doo adventure, if you wanted to, have you ever wanted to go away for a week? Would you want to go away for a week? Do you feel like you could, as the mother of three children, and trust your husband and father of your children to go away for a week and know everything will be taken care of?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Mm.
Yep.
Then I'm curious that it's just not your thing, like traveling with the girls away from the family is just not something that you're that interests you?
I do, but I haven't been provided the opportunity.
Well, have you asked?
So if someone asks, I will run.
Well, what about if you just wanted to go somewhere by yourself? Say you found like a spa retreat and just to have a week to do whatever you wanted to do.
Ooh.
Game on.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. So that's going to make this a little bit easier.
Well, great. I'm glad you feel that way, Aaron, because I would love to go back to Alaska and ride on a Sea-Doo, if that makes it any.
Inflatable banana.
Inflatable banana.
Yeah, Kaylee's thinking about doing it again.
I'm not going to guarantee that there's not going to be another animal or something when you get home.
Oh. Oh. Well, damn, that was good.
That's leverage, baby.
I mean, see, like, that's just messed up. Like, I just don't even need any more. I come home, and I'm just,
it's a negotiation. You want something, she wants something. At the end of the day, though, you'd be okay with him making this trip again.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Bert, now I got a request from you, buddy.
When is all this supposed to go down? Alaska 2.0.
Saturday.
Yeah, this Sunday I leave. I have my plane ticket. No, September.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was your fear?
I just didn't know because, you know.
That seemed really easy.
Yeah.
I don't understand what you were saying.
Okay, well, wait till I get home. Maybe it won't be that easy, all right?
I do. One request is that you make sure your life insurance policy is updated before you go.
That's fair.
Hey, babe, I'm riding on a banana. What's the worst thing that can happen?
She was so agreeable for you to leave that might be concerning.
I feel like she's been waiting for you to ask.
She's already booked the trip for you. All right, Aaron. Thanks for your time.
Have a good day.
Sorry to interrupt your meeting.
All right, see ya. All right, dude.
You're a lucky dude,
you're
man.
You're good, man. Yeah. You're good. You're solid, bro.
Blessed. Hashtag blessed.
Now we all got to take bets on what kind of new animal will be at the house when Kaylee is on his Alaska trip.